This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How money beliefs reveal deeper emotional patterns. What your financial fears say about your self-awareness. In short, your money beliefs are not financial facts. They are emotional patterns formed long before you earned your first pay. The anxiety you feel about spending, saving, or earning is really about the numbers and traces back to formative experiences that taught you what money means and what it says about you. Building real money beliefs, self-awareness means learning to read those patterns, not just manage your budget. Definition: money belief self-awareness is the capacity to recognize how your emotional assumptions about money shape your decisions, reactions, and relationships. It means understanding that the feelings money triggers in you are rooted in personal history, not objective financial reality, and knowing how to read those roots clearly. There is a particular kind of conversation I have watched unfold dozens of times over the years. A capable, intelligent person sits across from a colleague or a partner, and a financial topic comes up, something about salary, or spending, or a shared expense. Within seconds, something shifts in them. The voice tightens. The posture closes. A defensiveness enters that has nothing to do with the numbers being discussed. I used to think this was about money. After decades of watching it happen, I am certain it is not. It is about emotional patterns that money happens to activate. Money belief self-awareness is a skill of being able to see those patterns clearly, name them honestly, and stop letting them run the show without your knowledge. Where money beliefs actually come from. Most people assume their financial attitudes were shaped by income, education, or basic common sense. Here is the truth of it: they were shaped mostly by what you witnessed and felt as a child, long before you could think critically about any of it. If money in your household was a source of tension, your nervous system filed that away. It learned to treat financial conversations as dangerous territory. If money was scarce, you may have absorbed the belief that there is never enough, and that belief can persist even when the bank account says otherwise. If someone you respected treated spending as shameful, or saving as the only measure of discipline, those values entered you quietly and set up residence. These are not conclusions you reasoned your way into. They're emotional conditioning, absorbed through repetition, through the looks on people's faces, through arguments overheard from the next room. They feel like common sense because they have always been there. The mechanism beneath the reaction. Here is where the self-awareness work becomes genuinely useful. Every strong emotional reaction to a money situation is a signal. And if you're willing to follow that signal backwards, it will take you somewhere specific. The signal is not the feeling itself. The feeling is the surface. The signal is the pattern the feeling belongs to. Take the person who earns a good wage and still cannot spend money on themselves without guilt. The guilt is the surface reaction, but beneath it is a belief, formed early, that receiving something for yourself is selfish, or undeserved, or risky. That belief was learned. It was not born with that person. It was installed by experience. This is the mechanism a present-day financial situation activates: a past emotional memory, and the brain responds to the memory, not to the actual situation in front of it. The reaction feels appropriate because it feels familiar. But familiarity is not accuracy. When you develop real self-awareness around your money beliefs, you start to notice the gap between what is actually happening and what your nervous system is telling you is happening. That gap is where your freedom lies. Every time you make a financial decision from that unexamined place, you're not actually deciding. You are repeating. The core framework offers a useful structure for those moments when a familiar emotional trigger fires, and you need to stay grounded rather than react. What these patterns look like in real life. Let me give you three patterns I have watched play out across years of conversation, each one specific enough to recognize if you've lived it. The earner who cannot ask for more. This person is competent, valued, and consistently underpaid. They have the evidence to make the case for a raise. But the moment they consider asking, something shuts down in them. They tell themselves the timing is wrong, or the economy is uncertain, or their manager already knows their worth. These are rationalizations covering a deeper belief that asking for more means risking rejection, and rejection around money means something is fundamentally wrong with them. The financial behavior is passive. The emotional pattern underneath it is shame. The saver who cannot feel secure. This person has money in the bank, often considerably more than they need for any immediate purpose. But the security never comes. Each month they check the balance and feel the same low-level anxiety as the month before. No amount is ever enough to quiet it. The financial behavior looks like prudence.
The emotional pattern beneath it is scarcity fear, formed in a time when there genuinely was not enough and never properly updated to reflect a changed reality. The spender who avoids the account.
This person makes purchases without looking at the balance, avoids opening financial statements, and feels a flash of anxiety whenever money is discussed seriously. They are not careless.
They are avoiding something that feels emotionally threatening.
The spending is a relief, briefly.
The pattern beneath it is usually a belief that confronting the reality will confirm something they fear about themselves. Each of these patterns is a communication problem as much as a financial one. They affect how directly the person can speak in salary negotiations, how well they can receive financial feedback, and how much defensiveness enters conversations that touch on money. Building emotional intelligence and tone in leadership communication is nearly impossible when financial conversations activate unexamined emotional responses you have never traced to their source.
Why this goes unrecognized for so long?
The reason most people spend decades living inside these patterns without questioning them comes down to one thing: the patterns feel like personality, not history. When something has been true for your entire adult life, it stops feeling like a belief and starts feeling like a fact.
I am not good with money. I have always been anxious about finances. That is just how I am. These are not character traits.
They are learned responses that have calcified into identity through repetition and the absence of examination. There's also the matter of shame. Money beliefs carry more emotional charge than most people are comfortable sitting with. To examine why you hoard money, or why you spend compulsively, or why asking for your worth makes you feel physically ill, requires you to look at experiences that may have been genuinely painful.
It is easier to treat the behavior as fixed and move on.
People who are strong communicators but still reactive in financial conversations often struggle here.
They have developed real skill at managing their responses in most situations.
But money touch is something older and more personal, and skill that was built consciously can unravel quickly when an older, deeper trigger fires. The confidence competence loop explains part of this. When emotional self-awareness is low in one specific domain, competence built elsewhere does not automatically transfer.
A quick note before we continue.
Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Eat Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com.
Now, back to the article. How to begin reading your own patterns.
The work of building money belief self-awareness is not dramatic.
It does not require years of analysis.
It requires a particular quality of honest attention, applied consistently over time. Start with your strongest reactions.
Think of the last time you felt a significant emotional charge around a financial situation. Not mild discomfort. A real charge: anxiety, shame, resentment, relief.
Write down exactly what happened and exactly what you felt. Then ask one question.
What would a person have to believe to feel this way in this situation?
That question surfaces the belief.
Once you can name the belief, you can begin to ask a second question. Where did I learn this? Not to assign blame and not to excuse the pattern.
Simply to locate it in time, to give it a history, to understand that it was formed under specific conditions that may no longer apply to your life today. This kind of reflective practice has a direct effect on how you communicate.
When you know your own emotional triggers around money, you can recognize when a reaction is coming from your history rather than from the present conversation.
You can pause. You can separate what is real from what is remembered.
That pause is the practical consequence of self-awareness, and it is what allows you to speak clearly rather than defensively.
When difficult conversations include a financial dimension, staying grounded requires exactly this kind of prior self-knowledge. The core framework for tense workplace conversations is built on the premise that you can only manage what you already understand about yourself. Managers who handle financial discussions with their teams well tend to share one quality: they have done this internal work. They are not surprised by their own reactions. They know which conversations will challenge them and why. That self-knowledge gives them the ground to stand on when the conversation becomes difficult. It is exactly the quality explored in why some managers handle workplace tension better than others.
There are three specific practices worth building into how you examine your patterns. Name the feeling before you act on it. Before you respond to a financial situation that triggers you, name the emotion specifically. Not stressed, but ashamed. Not worried, but panicked.
Precision matters. The more accurately you can name what you're feeling, the less power it has to drive your behavior without your awareness. Trace the belief, not just the behavior. Behavior is the symptom. Examine what you would have to believe for that behavior to make sense. A person who avoids salary conversations does not simply lack confidence. They believe something specific about what asking for more means about them. Find the belief. Test the belief against current evidence. Old beliefs were formed in old contexts. Ask yourself whether the belief actually holds true in your life today. Not whether it felt true once, but whether the evidence from your present reality supports it. Often, it does not. That gap between old belief and current reality is where change becomes possible. When corrective conversations at work include financial dimensions, as they often do in budget reviews or performance discussions, the tools in the SBI method for reducing tension become far more effective when the person delivering the feedback already understands their own emotional landscape around money. What genuine self-awareness changes? Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. Knowing something intellectually and knowing it in the way that changes your behavior are two very different things. You can understand the concept of emotional conditioning and still react from fear in the next salary conversation. Because understanding a pattern is not the same as having felt your way through it honestly. The kind of self-awareness that actually shifts behavior requires you to stay present with the discomfort of examining something painful, without rushing to resolve it or explain it away. It requires you to hold a difficult question long enough for a real answer to surface. That takes practice and courage in equal measure. When that depth of self-awareness is present, what changes is not just how you think about money. What changes is how you show up in any conversation where money enters the room. You become less reactive and more clear. You can say what you actually think, set boundaries with confidence, and receive difficult financial information without it triggering a defensive shutdown. The SBI method for addressing tension-causing behavior depends on exactly this quality, the ability to stay present and specific rather than collapsing into an old emotional pattern when the stakes feel high. This much I know for certain: the people who communicate most clearly about money are not the ones who have the most money. They're the ones who have done the honest work of examining what money means to them, where those meanings came from, and which of those inherited beliefs they have chosen to keep. Money belief self-awareness is not a financial skill. It is one of the most revealing and practical expressions of knowing yourself. Frequently asked questions. What is money belief self-awareness? Money belief self-awareness means recognizing the emotional assumptions and inherited narratives you carry about money. It is not about budgeting or income. It is about understanding why money triggers specific feelings in you, and tracing those triggers back to the formative experiences that created them. How do money beliefs reveal emotional patterns? Money beliefs act as a surface expression of deeper emotional conditioning. Anxiety about spending, shame around earning, or compulsive saving often trace back to early experiences of scarcity, conflict, or instability. The financial behavior is visible. The emotional pattern beneath it is what drives it. Why is self-awareness important when examining money beliefs? Without self-awareness, money beliefs run on autopilot. You react to financial situations emotionally, but attribute those reactions to logic. Self-awareness lets you pause, identify the real source of the reaction, and choose a response that reflects your actual values rather than an old fear. Can money beliefs change if you become more self-aware? Yes, the belief itself does not change automatically, but your relationship to it can. When you recognize a money belief as an inherited pattern rather than a fact, you create distance from it. That distance gives you room to question it, test it, and gradually replace it with something earned through your own experience. How do you begin examining your own money beliefs? Start by noticing your strongest emotional reactions to money situations: anxiety before paying a bill, guilt after a purchase, fear around asking for a raise. Write down what you felt, then ask what experience taught you to feel that way. The answer is really about the money itself. How does money self-awareness affect communication at work? When you understand your own emotional patterns around money, you become less reactive in salary conversations, budget discussions, and financial decisions. You can engage with clarity rather than defensiveness, which makes your communication more direct, more grounded, and more trustworthy to the people around you. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.